Okay, everybody, we're back with another episode of
Big Talk About Small Business.
We've got a guest here in the studio with us today, and that is Becky Charton. And hey, Becky, how
welcome
you doing?
To the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm sitting here with my partner, Eric, as well. Eric Howerton.
Hello, Mark. Thank you. I'm doing great. Good. Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you.
I'm excited about this one.
Me too.
Okay. Oh. I am too.
Becky's a character. Okay.
Oh.
She's a character.
Character.
She is. Yeah. She's
in a great way.
In a great way. I can't wait to hear about it.
So Becky, though, is an interior designer, and she's got a very successful business. And I know it's got an unusual name, Table Setters Inc.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, Becky. Like it's a name that's like sentimental. I'm a huge like fan of sentiment. So I've had two careers in my life, and we'll probably have another, maybe more than one if I live to 105 or something. But
nothing wrong with that. Life's too short to do the same thing forever.
That's right.
Eric and I have changed a lot.
I know. I like that. I like that. It's inspiration. So my first career, when I was retiring from that career, my mentor said that we were like table setters. We prepared the feast so everyone else could dine and enjoy the feast, but we set the tables.
I see.
And so at the time, I was also doing a lot of wedding coordinating. Mm. Loved that industry. Honestly, would have stayed in it if it wasn't a weekend gig.
Yeah, right.
But started doing both and was like, you know what? I can hang on to design. It's during the week. So, but that's where it came from, table setters. And I've had a hard time letting go of it, although it doesn't speak to all that we do. I do love the name. So we go by TSI a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, we just shortened it a bit.
I see. Well, I thought it came from setting tables professionally or something.
Yeah, we do So.
So would you say that it's kind of the meaning behind it with interior design is like you're really like your home or the environment is like if you set that table, it's like you're hosting.
Yeah.
You're hosting life in there, right? Your home.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like we like to say that we really love spatial design.
Right.
Because we really are. I told a client one time, and he was real reluctant to hire me. He was recently divorced and wasn't sure that he should be doing his house, designing his house, didn't know he had his own style.
Yeah.
And I said, this will work if you let me know you. And he's like, I don't know what you mean. And I was like, we're relationship based. Like, if you don't let me know you, I can't create this home that works for you, this environment that works for you.
Yeah.
And it's the part that, like, it is a core value. Sorry, an EOS thing. But it is a core value that it relationships first. And so, like, I tell people, like, honestly, I really don't care about your lamp. Don't care about your sofa. Like, I love relationships. And it's really what drives me in my business.
So how does that work? How do you get to know them to start?
It's a dance at the beginning. Mm. And because we've taken it like even farther than just like getting to know our little clients. Like it's also about our relationship with our vendors, our subs. Like if
so
we
critical.
Build these relationships and some of them we don't align with, you know, you might still have to work with them over a 3-year project. Mm-hmm. But some of those people then go on with you in your career because you built this relationship and you're aligned. So you just get it. You get each other. You want to do more work together. So at the beginning, when we first get a client, it takes a lot of time. Mm. And it's a lot of conversation. It's going to, you know, coffee. It's like sitting down in their home, like having someone sit down to meet with you. It's bringing them into your space. I think there's just this
builds trust.
Yeah.
You've got to have that in order to be able to influence them.
Yes.
To do what they need to do, right?
Yes. It's such an intimate career. I mean, like, we're in people's closets, you know? And I want people, right? And I want people to trust us. And I feel like we've built that over, 26 years. I'm so
it's
proud.
It's awesome. Congratulations.
It's a lot of
time. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, I think that, like on this relationship discussion, right, is a lot easier said than done. I think that, you know, it's one of those things that in business that where people kind of half-heartedly say that, and they know it's important, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Build relationships, yeah. But it seems like that you really take that down the right level, and you're investing your time. And, and by the way, if you're running a business, like, you need to know how much time you need to invest to establish that relationship, because that's all kind of part of what you need to be charging.
Yeah.
It's true. It's all part of your cost.
It is.
Yeah, to do what you do.
We call it our discovery phase, you know, and there's parts of that that just are non-billable.
Yeah, right.
I took this course over COVID about marketing because I didn't think I marketed because I have a marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And then I took this course and I was like, oh,
I am actually marketing.
We do market.
Exactly.
Didn't call it that. But it is that discovery phase, like, where we're just, some people take a lot more time. I have to spend a lot more time with them. And then some people just get it right away. When I look, I mean, what's interesting about our business, when I look at our clientele list from these 26 years, it's shockingly small. And I'm like, how have we done this for 26 years? And it's because we call them lifers. So we just have people that keep coming back around and, like, hiring us for all the things. Like, our three-year vision with EOS, our three-year vision.
It's a magic bullet for everything. No, I'm kidding.
I know. I just had that. I'm just going to.
You just had to throw that in, didn't you?
I'm just going to sell it a little bit more.
She's been balking you.
I've been drinking the Kool-Aid, and it's yummy.
Oh, God. Okay. 5 years, you'll never hear about EOS.
I know.
It'd be like TQM. Remember when we all went through that?
No, see, I've already forgot.
Okay, well, I'm older than you. That's why you don't remember. But go on. I'm sorry. We shouldn't have interrupted you.
No, it's fun. I don't even know what we were talking about now. So there we go. But
we were talking about relationships and marketing.
You didn't realize you were marketing.
Yes. Yes, when you're spending that time with those clients, and so we call them lifers. Mm-hmm. And so these clients, as we really look at our clientele, they keep coming back. I mean, I had one lady, they'd never hired a designer. They hired us about maybe 5 years ago, a referral from my AV company, like, of all things. But they bought a house we had done. Mm-hmm. Never had hired a designer. And now she's like, Becky, you do know that you will be with me the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah.
And we're
That's
doing their son's
feeling.
Wedding.
Yeah,
and
wow.
So, like, and
you are diverse.
Part of our three-year plan is to start working generational. Because I've my very first client, her son just hired us to do his office building in Little Rock.
That's cool. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a cool, like, milestone, I think, in business, to say now we're working on a second generation of clientele.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Well, it seems like, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this in the residential area in particular, and I know that's not all you do, obviously, but it seems like people get this idea. It's like, I saw this room on Pinterest, and I want that thing like that, or that room, but it doesn't go with anything else, and they have no plan for their house. They look at each area in isolation with no sort of grand scheme and context for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you discover that a lot?
A lot. And I think even early on, when, like, HGTV and do-it-yourself, like, movement, like, just really, it hurt us, but it also catapulted our industry both, if you ask me.
Yep.
Because all people feel like it's attainable now. It's not just this level of people that can hire a designer.
Sure.
So I love that part because I love those small projects. We don't do as many anymore, but I love them because they're super grateful. They happen really quick. They like, trust you a little bit more versus, like, these big budgets with, you know, lots of exposure and that kind of thing. But I think the key for us when we get that, like, that whole, like, I'm going to take it a bit farther when someone's like, I want this exact thing. Yeah. Like, Kelly Wurstler made this, you know, vanity, and we want to build it exactly like this. Like, for us, like, we don't play, you know, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, like, we want to create something that's yours. What's your style? Let's develop your style and go from there. And it's a challenge. And they're not our right client.
No.
We don't like copycats.
That's like trying to be a famous musician and singing other people's music and never writing your own. You know, you're only going to go so far with that.
Yeah. At some point, you've got to be. Even though there's nothing new under the sun, like our inspiration comes from somewhere.
Sure.
Like you still have to be original.
Right. Yeah. It's the way you kind of put it all together and the combination of elements that creates the environment that you're.
Definitely.
Not transparent. Definitely. If somebody went down that road, like the Pinterest road and everything, I mean, my experience, because I've done something like that, right, is that when you get done with it, you're out of place of what you just created or tried to create, right? Because it is not you.
Yeah.
You know, and I like it. I like what you're talking about like that, because it's not about knowing all the new trends and what's the new styles. It's if you don't end up with something that you walk into.
Yeah.
That you feel comfortable in because you feel your identity there.
Yeah.
You're not going to be happy with it.
No.
Doesn't matter what
you buy. It's like you have to build your own story. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about, like, I've been learning about marketing and how, like, people like stories to, like, attach to, you know, what you're trying to sell.
That's the big thing. Storytelling. That's another buzzword. Storytelling.
And what about experiences, Mark?
It's true.
Let's have an experience.
Let's lean into that. Okay? I want to lean into that one. And then, by the way, pivot. Okay.
Oh yeah, pivot.
Uh-huh. Pivot.
Yeah.
That pivot.
Yeah.
No, but you're right though. It is the stories. It is the building of the
If identity. If you can help someone that's the thing. Like there's not a style we do. There is a method in which we do design. Like people say, what's your style? I'm like, my style is like order,
it's
placement, it's scale.
Right.
But it's not Tuscan. It's not modern. Oh, it's not, you know, it's not these things. It's how we do it. But because your home needs to be you. You need to go in. In fact, I have a good story. Can I tell a story?
Please.
Can I tell a story, Mark?
Of course.
Please.
You need to ask for
permission. Can she storytell, Mark? Is that okay with you?
Let's pivot to your story. Go. Hit it, Becky.
I'm going to pivot to a story that I learned through EOS. No. When I first started, and I was like, I mean, I'm not educated in this field, like did not finish college, like worked hard, had multiple jobs. All I wanted to do was work because I loved my work.
Yeah.
And so I learned by doing. So like I really have like a lot of life lessons to get to where I am. But one of the first houses I did, I finished doing this dining room. It looked just beautiful and I was so proud of it. And I walk out, the client's walking out with me and the neighbor comes over and I'm getting in my car and I've said my goodbye. And I hear my client say, come in and see this amazing dining room I just did. Mm-hmm. And I thought, she just did. Like, she just did the dining room? Wait a minute. I did the dining room. So I'm driving away, like, processing this conversation, thinking, why, Becky, what's wrong? What's the deal? And I realized, like, for me to be successful, every time I walk away, they should be bringing their mother-in-law, their neighbor, the plumber, to see what they have done. If they say they did it, then that was a successful job.
No, you're right. But I understand it's kind of a blow to your ego in a way. You know, it's like, what, you're taking credit for?
Yeah.
That isn't right. But that's the goal, though, right?
It's their home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not your design. It's their home.
It's their home.
Right.
That's the success.
That's a good slogan for you.
What is it? Let's write it down.
It's your home, not my design.
Not my design.
I like that.
Yeah.
A lot of architects need to learn that one.
Yeah, they do.
They want to impose their will on you, whether you like it or not.
Because if I saw that, I'd be like, I don't like that. Because it is my freaking home. Dang it. And it's my money.
And you're,
that's right.
Effort.
And you hired Becky.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
I need somebody to help me, not to own me.
Yeah. Yes. Well, the thing is with this design stuff, though, it seems like people get wedded to these overly thematic, you know, like 15 years ago, everything was craftsman. And then I found myself, like, I did this one house where it was super craftsman-y. It had all the elements, the exposed rafter tails and big overhanging eaves and tapered columns and all of it. And then inside, I started doing the same thing. And we made all the furniture and the cabinets. It got so craftsman-y and so hard-edged that I went, honestly, I hated it. Okay. It was like anything you put in here that doesn't look like it came out of the 1920s bungalow book.
Right.
Looks like crap.
Yeah,
okay.
Didn't work.
And now today it's like even my mom, who passed away at 103 in November last year.
Congratulations.
Within the last couple months, she says to me one day on the phone, she goes, "What is it with every new house? It's white with black windows. It's a freaking farmhouse thing."
That's right.
I go, "I don't know what it is, but they're all doing it."
Yeah.
You know, but people get on these kicks and it seems you've got to like break them out of that.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Because
it gives you so much more flexibility, like where you go from there
and that's
later.
Where I feel like there's like, you know? I tell people all the time, there's like two different kinds of designers.
Mm-hmm.
And I relate it to fashion, which I personally love fashion just in its.
Sure, you're
just
interested in design and everything.
As my hobby, you know, because it's my way of creating personally. But there's two different kinds of designers, and it's like fashion. So there are designers that like you see their space and you're like, I know who did that.
Right.
Like, it's so obvious. Like, that's why I wanted to meet you. I love the houses you were doing. They all look the same. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, he does such a good job. I want to meet this guy. And so that is similar to like carrying a bag that has a logo on it, right? Or a belt buckle with a logo. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is
gets boring that, like, after
people,
a while.
There's people that like that.
Sure.
Whether it's status, whether it's they finally arrive, like whatever it is for them.
No, you're right.
And then there is design that is unrecognizable, right? It's just good.
Yes.
And it's good and it's appropriate and it tells the story. It's individual. It's owned. And that's what we do. So if you want to sign up for like the time and the effort and building a lifelong relationship and become a lifer, you know, that's our lane. Like this isn't our lane.
You're like a tailor.
Yeah.
You're the tailor.
Well, yeah.
Very cool.
It's easier to get repeat business when that's the way you're doing it. Because otherwise, like I did that. I don't want that now. I want something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally get that. So let's step back for a minute, though. You started to tell us early on how you got into this business. What did you do before?
Yeah. Okay. So I worked, let's see, I started, should we go back to fourth grade when I taught Sunday
school? Do whatever you
want. I was just taught, like I was raised in a very like small-minded, I'm going to say, environment. It was a religious environment. Mm-hmm. It was very sheltered. And it has done me great. And then there's been a lot I've had to learn coming out of that. But so I worked like three jobs in college, didn't know why I was going to college except my parents were making me. And I would rather be at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I loved work. And I realize now it's because like that's how I learn. I learn by doing.
Sure.
And so like book learning was really difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was working at a church, and then they hired someone to be my boss.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss asked me to marry him about 4 weeks in. I thought, my life is ruined. Mm-hmm. I either have to marry someone I don't know, or I have to leave a job I love.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept the job and married the guy.
Okay.
And so I say we dated our first 10 years of marriage. But anyway, so we ran this great youth program. We had youth camps, summer youth camps, and it was loads of fun. It was project-based, which I realize now I, like, thrive on. I like an end, a beginning and an end.
Yeah, it is. I get that totally.
Good?
Yeah, and then when you see them in the rearview mirror, you're it's like, okay, that's done. Now we move on to the next one.
It's like that endorphin you get with a check mark.
Because
it's like, oh, I did something. I accomplished it.
No, we understand that totally. Eric and I both.
Yeah, love it. And so towards the end of that, like we knew that wasn't our life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we retired. And then we were just like wandering, you know, like what's next. And I had decorated a cute little house and decorated everybody who got married that I knew in my church and all the people I was doing weddings for. Mm-hmm. And so just for fun. Mm-hmm. And someone said, you should go work at this furniture store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a new concept. They were called Norwalk. And they had like frames, but then the designers at the store would help you like pick the fabric and customize it.
Sure.
And so I spent about 3 years there and learned a lot. Now, I also will tell you there was pain because I didn't know how to be in public. Like, it was such a big learning curve, like the pressure of sales. And it was, wow, some of the stories, like, are amazing from that time period. But I got to see the front end and the back end. Hated sales. Felt like I was lying. So they moved me into, like, the back end where I set up vendors and learned how to, like, manage the warehouse and, just check all everything that was coming and going and place all the orders. So I learned the back end of design, basically.
Okay.
The whole process.
That probably was helpful to
it,
you.
It was, and I got it. I got that part. And so I was still pretty miserable because I wasn't being creative. Like, it was just, it wasn't the right fit, wasn't the right people, but great education. A friend said, hey, I'm dating this guy, his mom, my first client. Now I'm working for the guy she was dating. But my mom, she needs, like, someone to do her whole house. Can you do more of the furniture? I was like, sure, I can.
Yeah, sure.
So I was like, yeah, I'll sign up. And so my husband's like, listen, he had a business degree. He's like, we'll set you up a business. If you can make $12,000 the first year, we can make it. I said, okay, $12,000. Okay, I can do this. So we got a DVA. Like, I went to town, started that first project. That was 26 years ago. And I made $12,500.
Nice.
Dang it, you did it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You crossed the threshold. Good job.
The next year I doubled, went to $25,000. But anyway, so that's how I got started. And I just, it was that, honestly, I call it the table setter's family tree. Like, when you look at my client base and, like, how they, it's referral based because I don't market. Well, I do, but just to the people we're working for. And you look at it, it is so, like, connected. Like, it's not this grand, huge tree because, like, you can see
every referral point. Everybody's like 2 degrees separated from everybody else.
That's right.
So it's such a great place to do that. You know what you're talking about.
You're right.
So is Kevin, was he the guy that you met then?
He was the guy.
Oh my gosh. What, I'm still on the first husband. Holy cow. That's unusual.
Wow. You know what?
That's 4 weeks? That was a quick decision.
4 weeks. I was like, wow, this has ruined my life. Is how it started. It took me 3 days before I said yes.
Let's call Kevin in here. Kevin.
Yeah.
Tell us how you ruined Becky's life.
Tell you.
That's funny.
Yeah. So we're...
he's at the window.
Yeah. He's so cute. So we're at 30... But what year is this? We're 34 years.
Congratulations. Well.
Marriage. Yeah, thank you.
So can I mention something?
Yeah,
because I think it's important the audience to... There's a lot of folks that get into wanting to start their own business, or like even people that start out, they're young in their career, feel this pressure that they have to figure everything out and exactly what they want.
Exactly.
Yes.
But that was not my experience.
It
wasn't yours.
I know.
It's not yours.
No.
Like, there's a lot of time. Like, I look back and I'm like, how did I get here? Like, I studied photojournalism, but there is a thread. So, like, I've been realizing my old age now. Like, what
you're
is
getting
it that
introspective?
I actually
do? Huh? You're getting very introspective.
I am. Yes, I am. I'm looking back.
You're just starting here a second. I have a life. This is, you're just starting.
It's great. I kind of like it because what I like is content.
Right.
I like communications.
Sure.
And people need content to communicate. But I mean, it all threads back. But I mean,
that's your software business is related to that. You provided content to customers.
And this is.
Yeah, this is for
sure. It's all related to that. But I mean, the point is like, there is no plan. Like, and as you go in business, what you did.
Yeah.
You had this opportunity. You took it. Oh, I like that. Oh, this builds another one.
Yeah.
And this refers here.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a freaking 20 freaking sheet spreadsheet that it calculates every freaking penny.
I swear, I had this discussion in class last week.
You don't.
With my guest speaker, it's a 37-year-old woman. She owns a 3PL. Okay, it's very successful. She was one of my students. And her husband.
3PL.
Yeah, third-party logistics provider.
Thank you for the acronym clarification.
You know what?
Part of our mission is not to use acronyms, Mark.
She's got 90,000 square feet of space, and she's got a business that's going to do $6 million this year in revenue. She's great. But anyway, her husband is and has gotten into real estate. They've got maybe 15 properties. And she said he wants to have this strategic plan that you follow exactly like this. And she goes, it's not like that. Yeah. You've got to be responsive to opportunities in the market.
Yeah.
And if you're too rigid, then this doesn't work.
Yeah.
You go, boy, you have gone so far to come to that realization.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to Becky's business for a minute. Now, tell us, so that was 26 years ago you started it. You've got two locations now, right?
Yeah.
Fayetteville and Little Rock. Tell us about the character of the business today and what you're doing, because it's really, the scope has increased dramatically.
So, you know, from I started in my guest room, and then I went to a garage apartment between my two neighbors. I call them neighbors. And, you know, and now I have two offices, and I have, you know, just a team of seven. So it's not crazy big. It's very manageable. I would love to be about 10, but I think that's my threshold probably. We've been able, with the talent we have, and I really contribute that to being in Northwest Arkansas. Like, so grateful. I had a job up here in 2013.
A client project in
Fayetteville. And it was someone from, you know, Central Arkansas, and they were doing a project here, and they brought me up to do the project. And then I was like, oh, and then I had another big project. It was a referral from the cabinet people. And then I got another referral and did that job. And it was interesting because I kept thinking I was just doing projects in Fayetteville.
Right.
And, you know, Kevin's like, you've spent 186 nights in Fayetteville at breakfast. Like, you know, like maybe we should buy a place there. And then one of my lifers said, we're going to build a forever home. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to take root. You know, this is like, I'm going to be here for a while. And so now I would say, because of being here, I think there's so much opportunity here. Mm-hmm. Like, it is insane, the opportunity in Northwest Arkansas. And there's so much missing in my industry here, like the support from my industry, that there's just so much room for growth still.
I agree. I mean, it's unbelievable. It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
And so I feel like I have been able to build like a rock star team because of the location.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, so one of our designers, like, you know, moved here. His husband got transferred here for a really great opportunity, and he came with him, and he was a shop owner there. He had been a designer, like, does beautiful work, and he didn't want to set up shop again. You know, I got him.
Yeah.
And then we just hired a new gal who is amazing. And she came from Seattle, owned her own business 23 years. You know, they're moving back. And so I feel like the location, and I feel like that's been something I've always done. It's like, I will just go wherever you need me to go.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done jobs in Smackover and Paragould, you know, and like flown to Paragould every Wednesday for a year and a half, you know, just whatever needed to happen to like serve those opportunities, those clients. And so, so I think that's why we have like this great team now.
Give us a sense of the quantity and size of the jobs that you guys are doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Or have done.
Yeah, it's not, I don't want anyone to think like we're like, you know, it's, I mean, I think we have 16 projects right now. We might work on 8 over a course of a week.
Okay.
And some of them are ending, some of them are starting.
Yeah.
Our sweet spot is to have like a full build. Like, we love beginning to end. Like, we love helping you decide what property to buy. We love helping you build
the entire
design
house.
Team.
Okay.
All the way to like picking the perfect trash can for the powder bath. Like,
wow.
We like the whole thing, you know, because that's the relationship.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you spend that much time with someone. Like, you go fly to meet an architect in Austin. You go on shopping trips with clients. You know, are there to celebrate birthdays. Like, that's how you build those relationships, and you become, like, a part of their circle, you know?
So most interior designers, they either sell their time.
Yeah.
Or they sell furniture.
I mean,
or some combination of both.
Yeah.
Do you do both?
We do both.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, industry, like, I have a business coach, which is a whole other great story, out of Denver, Colorado.
Is this the one I read about who told you to double your rates and you did it?
Yes. Oh, that's a good story, too. I forgot that, Mark? Yeah, that's a good one.
I'd like to hear that because okay. I think that is a problem for so many small businesses. They think being cheap and being busy is the way to get ahead, whereas it's not.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's better to be expensive and do a good job when you work. You know,
remember that. Good word.
It just is.
Yeah,
it's a better strategy for a small business.
Yeah,
better service, better quality, but a higher price.
Yeah,
because you can't compete just as the cheapest. It's a race to the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. So true. So true. That's a good reminder. Good reminder.
So this business coach yours, though, she's the one that said you need to raise your rates because you're busy, but you're not making enough.
She did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want me to tell that story?
Yeah. Okay. Tell us.
So I was, it started with, I would say that it was probably one of the biggest pivotal points in my business. Mm-hmm. And it was 9 years ago.
Okay.
And my husband's entrepreneurial as well. So we, like we said, we both left one career and we both found our way. And he started a business about the same time I did. And so about 10 years into his business, the rug got pulled out from under him. Mm. He lost his dealership. And so...
What was he selling?
He sells microscopes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool industry.
Yeah.
And so
it's a small industry.
It's
micro.
Yes.
Sorry.
They make... Yes. He has a... I'll let him tell you his tagline on that. So I realized that I needed help. I had done all I knew to do in my business and I felt like there was opportunity, but I didn't know how to get there. And I've been going to High Point Market and always sourcing, cause we are so limited here. And so, I was I need to go to these free classes when they offer them. I should go get some education.
Yeah,
you know, I'm here, right?
Program.
And it's free.
Yeah, right.
So, so I went to this panel. They had a panel of designers on the stage, and there was 250 people, and they are talking, and other people are talking.
Sorry, this thing just talks randomly.
I know. They thought I asked a question or something, which is fine. They just want to be a part. So I went to this talk, and they had this panel, and I've never heard anyone talk out loud about our industry and the struggles being a business owner in the industry. People talk all the time about you ordered the wrong sofa, color, whatever. But these people are talking about do we charge enough? People aren't paying us in time. And I'm they're saying this out loud. I mean, who's running this show? I need to meet this person. And so Gail Doby, she's a business coach. She'd been in the design field, has a finance degree. And
she understands your industry.
She gets it.
Yeah, sure.
And she has this goal to make I don't even know what her number is. So many designers in this amount of time, basically, over $2 million businesses. Her goal is to make us CEOs. She said, this is an industry where so many of us don't know how to run our business. Mm-hmm. We don't have the tools. And so that is her goal. And so that's really, I was at a, I heard her and I was I'm just going to sign up for this person blindly and went to her summit in Denver, Colorado. And really that is where she has a VIP program where she does this really intensive work on your finances. I took my accountant with me. I went back 3 months later and took Kevin. And I remember he went to the bathroom. She's like, is it okay we're working on his business instead of yours? I'm like, yeah, they're both our businesses. Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. And so that was the pivotal point for me because she really has this whole program and systems for specifically our industry.
Right.
And she is the one that said, raise your rates.
I'm very skeptical of business coaches.
Yeah.
But I think if you've got somebody that knows your industry, that's a different matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because not every business is different. It can't just be in my mind at least. You know, Zwei Group, that's all we do is work with architects and engineers. So we did that on a big scale.
Yeah.
And so I totally understand that. And I always felt we understand your business.
Yeah.
If we didn't understand your business, if you were a liquor store or a car dealership or something, I wouldn't know what the heck to look at.
Yeah.
you know, because that wasn't our bag.
Right.
You've got to be specialized. So obviously this woman really did help.
She did.
And she convinced you that you could charge more and you wouldn't lose all your clients, right?
She said, I'm telling you, you will make, first of all, her program was like hiring an employee. And I was like, I can't do this. But I signed up and she said, you're going to make this money back. And she said, you need to raise your rates by double. And I was like, okay.
Most people would be afraid to do that.
There wasn't like, you know, this formula. It was just the information, you know? And then just like, and then a deadline.
I like that.
And I was like, okay. So like, as I was like, how do I do this? Went back to relationships. Mm. I was like, okay, I can do this. People that have never hired me, that's easy. This is what we charge.
Right.
They're either going to hire me or not hire me. But then I've got these people that are lifers. They're like, what do I do with them? And I was like, okay, if this was happening to me, I would want some time.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say till the end of your project because they don't end.
Right.
So I was like, that doesn't work.
On this day.
So I'm going to give them 6 months.
Okay. I like that.
Okay. I went and met with, and they were three men that all had their own businesses. And I'm like, oh my God. Can do this. And so I went to one and he was like, okay, you're gonna raise by double? And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, you know, we really need to be raising our rates too. So like, what's your strategy on that? And I was like, really? Like you do? And then, you know, I go to the next guy and he's an attorney. Mm-hmm. And I'm having to tell this attorney.
He's already charging $600 an hour, right? You're cheap compared to him.
What you charge. And then the next guy was an entrepreneur himself and owned all these clinics and said the same thing. Like, okay, how are your, who have you told? Like, how are they taking this? I mean, it was like it gave everyone permission, you know?
Well, they wanted to see you be successful too because you have a relationship
with
them.
Well, they value your work that you're doing, right?
It's such a pivotal part of this whole thing. It's like, you know, I think a lot of people, like, again, you know, I teach entrepreneurship to undergrads.
Okay.
And a lot of them think, well, the way you buy stuff in a business is you buy the cheapest you can get. You beat everybody down. And, you know, Walmart has sort of perpetuated that in a way in Northwest Arkansas, that sort of thought process.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's certainly not applicable to all businesses.
It's not at all the discount shop store.
It's its business mission to save money and live better.
That's right.
Right.
But, yeah, works for DIY people.
That's right.
Totally works.
But in business, most of us, we don't buy anything based on what's the cheapest. You buy from the people you like. You buy from the people that are easy to deal with. You buy from the people who always deliver. You buy from the people who help you when you're in a bind jump in.
Yeah.
You know, the price is one factor, but it's like way down on the list.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think a lot of people just don't understand that. If you're a quality provider, the price is not usually the sole determinant.
It's like, are you saving them time? Are you saving them pain?
Yes.
You know, are you giving them, are you delivering what they want? Do you have an expertise and a knowledge base to where like it's like that's the it's the value.
It's like we're dealing.
Yeah.
We always dealt with our subcontractors like that. And I know these are all the people that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want to call, you know, the cheapest electrician?
Right.
No. You want the guy that when you know you need to put two outlets there in a hurry and that light got to be replaced by tomorrow, that they're going to come over and do that, and it's going to be done nicely. They clean up all their work when they're done.
Done right.
They actually turn the fuse box back on, they flip the breaker so it works when you plug something into it.
And they put the light switch in a place that makes sense, so it's not this wall that's turned on that light.
Yeah, you don't turn it down, you turn it on, you turn it up.
That's right. It's not crooked. The faceplates aren't crooked.
Right, but I'm just saying, so it's like all those other things get so much more important. And when you have that relationship, you don't even ask them what it costs. You go, just get in there, do it. And they know they can trust you.
Yeah.
And they like doing business with you better because they don't have to estimate everything.
Yeah.
And quote prices all the time. Don't, and then it's a symbiotic.
Yeah. And don't you think it's true, though? Like, when I look back, you know, okay, we have 26 years. So that's some, you know, history.
It's a long time.
Right?
Yeah, doing this stuff.
Like, when you're starting, like, my clientele, their expectations were much different than the clientele I have now.
Yeah.
And so when I say, like, we've grown up with some of our clientele, Like before, they just wanted me to use what they had. That was the resource.
Sure, I get
right?
it. Yeah.
They didn't care if I go to market and like buy into some line and like now can sell them something that will last them 20 years. Like the goal was to use what they had and make it look different, make it look good.
Right. They didn't have the budget.
Right.
And now they're more successful and
fluent. Right. So like as these younger people are growing in these businesses and trying these businesses, there are these levels too.
Sure.
You know, so like I love seeing that because that also has given me permission to take the kind of jobs we take, the level of jobs we take, work with the vendors. Like I now feel comfortable saying this job isn't for us. But when you're starting, you're hungry. Like, you're afraid to say that, right? I mean, I'm still afraid to say it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But
I love saying yes, man.
I know.
It's so great.
I don't like with people that start with no.
Yeah, don't want to give up any revenue dollar.
Ever.
Okay.
No, dude, I can't stand it.
All those fights.
No, that's my biggest challenge.
Just, I'm like, whoa. I don't want to get out of that. What are you talking about?
Money.
I'm not going to give any of it up. Yeah, no, it's so true. But so like give us a sense, what's the mix of your projects for single family residential? Then you do some bigger stuff. I know you've worked for institutional type clients and also commercial.
Yeah,
what's
so
the breakdown?
Our commercial is pretty small. Like our commercial tends to be like someone is starting a restaurant, you know, that's not franchised, and we help them with the aesthetics of the dining space.
That's a big deal.
It's fun. Those have been fun. And a lot of more corporate type offices, you know, because it's a relationship again. It goes back to like, hey, you've done our house, you know us, we could do this project.
Yeah.
So I love those. I love doing like people's offices and their suites. Like, love that part. And then really our sweet spot are those full builds. So like if we can have one of those that are a 3-year project, a 5-year project, and they overlap.
So what are these like $3 million houses, $5 million projects? Like what kind of range are we talking about?
Yeah. We're talking about anywhere from like, I mean,
typical.
So our small projects, we would say, like maybe they are building like $1 million homes, you know, maybe they're doing $1 million remodel, maybe two. And then our big houses that last, you know, over the course of time is like 4 to 10.
Okay.
So like, you know, bigger projects.
That's a lot in Arkansas.
It's a lot.
This is not Southern California. Okay, so you're going beyond.
I wouldn't say we go way beyond. We have a house right now in Florida that's a really neat project, and again, a lifer.
Yeah.
We just finished a house up at Table Rock Lake that was amazing, a legacy home. So
grew up in Missouri. Everybody had a place on Table Rock.
Yes, it's so good. I love Leafy, Arkansas now. Yeah. I'm like, this is a fun little spot, and I found like these great restaurants. I loved it. I love going and like exploring a new place and meeting new people.
There's people that have $10 million homes?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Believe me, when you get done with that thing you're building over there in Cave Springs, it's not. You'll have $10 million in the site work, I think. Eric's got this property on a hill, and he's building the compound.
We're building this house, and then they're like, how do we build this much? I was like, you didn't build a house. You like developed property.
This is a development project for sure.
If you put on a pond, a stone wall, a water feature, the level we're talking about. Yeah.
He's talking about having three houses plus his house plus a commercial building.
Well, come on. Three little tiny home things.
Yeah.
For the daughters.
Then you can just break it down. Say, you know, I built an X amount dollar home, and then I built like, you know, a $100,000 home and a $50,000 home. Yeah. That's how you can break it out.
So we have a few minutes left, Mark.
Okay.
Just wanted to make sure that, like, like a question like about, you know, on that relationship thing. Mm-hmm. So can you give, do you mind to give like how you go about, like, is there a, like, I know you probably don't have it, completely strategized and timetabled out, but like, how would you tell somebody or coach somebody to build a relationship with a client to where they become a lifer? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Is this like, so you have
a life for not questioning price all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
really,
they get that value. So say Mark gives you a call, says, hey, Becky, I heard, I got a referral from somebody that said that you're a great designer. I got this project going on.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, let's, and then you're starting that relationship that moment.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
What's the first thing
you
do?
Good question.
So I'm thinking of these people that haven't been referrals that knew other people well, you know, so like they're a fresh referral, like they're not coming from a lifer.
And
they've been around with me and now I know them as well.
That's
just some history. So like the newbies.
A cold call.
Yeah. So I'm going to use the couple that we just did Table Rock for because they're relatively new. They're like the last 5 years clients. So when they called, again, like from the audio visual guy, like, okay.
So that's kind of a distant link.
They bought a house that we had remodeled for Coach Bieleman. Mm-hmm. So they bought the Bieleman's house and they loved what we had done. I mean, when they walked in, they were like, who painted that brick wall blue? Because like, we want to know that person. And so
that was risky.
I was like, okay, yeah, that's me. And so I remember she told me this recently and embarrassed me, but she said, when I called you, I was so nervous because I was like, oh my gosh, I've never called a designer. And I'm calling this designer and she like knows all this stuff I don't know. And she's like, will you work with me? And I said, you know what? Let's meet. Mm-hmm. I said, I'd love to just sit down and get to know you because you are going to want to work with me and I'm going to want to work with you.
Right.
And she said later, she goes, I was so worried when I have the phone. What if she doesn't want to work with me? What if she doesn't like me? And I was like, oh,
I love
gosh.
It.
That's a great plan.
There you go, baby. Yeah. You got this one.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where you want them.
So I will say,
create
like,
the mystique. Maybe I'll work for you, but maybe I won't.
Yeah. So that process, there's not a formula. You know, that's what's hard, but like that process.
But I think, the formula.
Is spending that time, like saying, we're not having a meeting for me to show you our program.
Right.
Right.
This meeting is like, tell me about your life.
Yes.
Like being engaged.
That's it.
I want to know where
you're not trying to sell them anything.
Who are your people?
Yes.
You're asking them questions.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah.
Because like I've had this, like, and there's a community aspect around here too, right? That you're like, I mean, it's, and it might be a little slow, but people can't, you can't fast track that stuff. Like you can't go in and sell.
No.
You know, even if they're wanting something from you, like you have to start understanding who that person is. Right?
And remember, it helped me that sales made me sweat. You know? So like, I don't, that's not my nature. No. I am selling all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm coming at it a different way and I don't even know it's sales. But it is that. And it took me like, their first sign up was just the living room. Okay.
So that's a good point.
That was a $75,000 job, right? Okay. When I say, hey, a living room this size is going to be $75,000. And they said, yes. And then in the whole course of that, she keeps saying, I'm never going to let you in my bedroom. It's a private space. I'm never going to let you in my bedroom. I was like, absolutely, I get it. Yeah. Well, as soon as we got five rooms done, she's like, you have got to do our bedroom.
Right?
Exactly. Well, you demonstrated. You demonstrated, and now she's got the confidence to go ahead. And so, that's a big part of it, too, I think.
And then they're looking.
You build credibility.
Literally, they're looking for projects we can help them with because they miss us.
I'm telling you, that's it. Like, I mean, folks, like the general person, all of us even in this room, and everybody that's listening, we get burned. We hear bad stories.
Yeah.
We have fear.
Yeah.
Fear is sitting there, and it's keeping me. I got these walls all around me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to let you just bust them all down.
Yeah.
But what you did with that living room, man, is you came in, you developed a trust.
Yeah.
They're like, I like that. Okay. And they're like, hey, what about this?
Yeah.
And then they eventually let you in the bedroom. It's like the most, I mean.
That's intimate.
That's it. That's intimate.
Yeah.
But over time, you broke down those walls.
Yeah. And what you said is so good. Like, it is the opposite of fear is love. And so, like, if you just, like, love people where they are, and you recognize that. I had a lady that said, my husband's going to love you, but I'm scared to death that we're hiring you. Mm. And I was like, he's great. He loves design. He's in. I need to win her. Like, I need to win her trust. She needs to know that I care about value because that mattered to her. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've been over backwards for the things that mattered to her. So it is about, like, listening. Where are they? Where are we together? You know?
It's good stuff. You know, if you... it's been proved that if you just ask people a lot of questions about themselves when you meet them, then you may talk very little, but when they leave you, they will say, oh, that Becky's wonderful. Yeah. I really liked her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you ask a lot. If you get together with somebody and all they do is talk about themselves and they never ask you anything about yourself.
Yeah.
You think they're an asshole. No, I mean, I'm sorry.
It's true because I feel like every time we do this podcast, I feel like Mark talks the entire time. And
come on, Eric.
I'm just kidding. Poor Mark. Well, we always ask a question at the end. Who did you like more as a host here today?
Because
we're trying to determine, Becky, like, should we split off and do separate shows?
Eric is more likable. I know that. Okay.
No way, man.
I accept that.
There's a great balance going on here.
You need a round table, though. Can I just suggest a round table?
We've got other sets, Becky.
We need a round table. We need to bring it in.
We have multiple sets here.
Okay.
We've got the Johnny Carson set. We've got the.
Yeah.
Hey, team, we need a round table.
We've got the what is it, the Charlie Rose interview set here.
You're talking about the little chairs? The chairs,
Lounge sets.
We've got a variety of sets here. This is podcast videos. This is a real company.
This is good, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's really been fun talking. We could talk all day, I'm sure.
I know. We so could.
So I'm so glad you came.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, too. Well, like, I mean, that meant a lot. Ooh. I love meeting new people.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
We love meeting you. How do people get a hold of you if they want to reach out?
Yeah, that's hard. Like,
hey, maybe you will get a hold of me.
If you will decide to talk to them.
I might answer a whole
other podcast. Like, how have I been in business without social media? Because I have no social media. I'm so sorry. I do have a website.
Okay. Hit us with that, please.
It's www.tablesettersinc.com. And you can just reach out there.
Awesome.
It may be. Maybe Becky.
Maybe she could help you.
Maybe she'll talk to you.
We don't know.
I'll always talk.
Well, we'll get to know each other first. And then we'll decide, right? Whether this is going to work or not. Because we're really busy over here. Yeah. Okay? And we're not cheap. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Thank you. Mark said we are not cheap.
That's right. Put that on a quote on the top of the website. Hey, before you call, Mark Zweig said, we're not cheap.
We don't want to be cheap.
We don't want to be cheap.
Nope. No, Becky, it's great, and we're glad you're here in Northwest Arkansas, and I know you've worked on so many amazing projects. Obviously, you've really got yourself in the right network.
Thank you to get
the quality of stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So thanks so much, and until then, next week, that is, this has been another episode of
Big Talk About Small Business.
If you'd like to be on the show, or better yet, if you want to give us some money to be a sponsor of the show, please reach out to us at www.bigtalkaboutsmallbusiness.com, and we'd love to talk with you. We know that.
Let's think about it.
Okay.
We'll think about it.
Okay, we'll think about talking with you. But
we'll watch the sponsorships pour in now, Mark. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Eric, and thanks so much, Becky.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Big Talk About Small Business. If you have any questions or ideas for upcoming shows, be sure to head over to our website, www.bigtalkaboutsmallbusiness.com, and click on the Ask the Host button for the chance to have your questions answered on the show. Stay connected with us on LinkedIn at Big Talk About Small Business. And be sure to head over to our website to read articles, browse episodes, and ask questions about upcoming shows.